Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of heifers sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Okay, in this one, back in verse 11, some of your translations will read, high priest of the good things to come, as opposed to that have come, in my translation. That'll be in King James and derivatives. All right, now notice what's been said here. This is a typically rabbinic or Jewish heavy and light argument. If this, then how much more that? Okay, that's the form of the argument. It's a standard Hebrew argument form. So if blood of bulls and goats and so forth did this, then how much more will the blood of the Messiah himself? And notice that what's affected by the blood of Messiah is categorically different than what is affected by the blood of bulls and goats. What we're doing here is we are cleansing the conscience. We are dealing with willful sin here. Just pop up a minute and be homiletic for a second. The sacrifice of Messiah deals with willful sin. Okay, that's what it's for. We've taught in Midrash that everything balances. Okay, in God's economy, everything balances to the last grain of wheat. Doesn't always balance in this lifetime, but it always balances. So if you or I have committed a willful sin, and I don't know about you, but I have, there has to be an atoning sacrifice for it. Okay? Now, one of the things about the sacrifice, any sacrifice, whether it's bulls and goats or whether it's a sacrifice of Messiah, what condition has to exist before a sacrifice is acceptable?
Repentance.
Repentance. Okay? Repentance. So is it the case that if you go off into rebellion and you stay in rebellion, that your sins are covered by the sacrifice of Messiah? I would say no. Okay? And this is just my reading of it, and certainly other denominations read it differently. Okay? There are denominations who believe that the blood of Messiah covers it all, whether you like it or not. And those tend to be Calvinistic, and God love them. They're very smart people. Okay? I'm not saying that these people are stupid. They are not. They're very smart. They simply read the scriptures differently than I do. So if you run into a preacher that tells you that, you know, your behavior doesn't matter, once you're saved, you're always saved and doesn't matter, he's coming from that perspective. I don't happen to agree with that perspective. Okay? It doesn't mean I'm right and he's wrong. I'm just saying. I don't agree with it, because my reading of the efficacy of a sacrifice is you have to be repentant. You got to go up there and you got to apply you got to slay the goat. You've got to apply the blood or have the priest apply the blood for you. In other words, you've got to go do it. You can't offer a sacrifice in absentia. Yo.
If you're thinking in terms of once saved, always saved, regardless of action, that covers all, that's breaking the pattern.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the comment was that once saved, always saved breaks the pattern. And if you look at the nation Israel, for example, are they still God's chosen people?
I don't think so.
Absolutely. Does he deal with them? Absolutely. And does he deal with them in ways that they find very unpleasant? Absolutely. And that's by way of teaching us. Okay? And one of the things that one of the midrashes I read was very good, is it says that it is God's policy that once you have established a connection with him, he will not turn you loose. And that doesn't mean that there aren't serious consequences for unrepented sins. If you read the scriptures, the people who believe in once saved, always saved have sound scriptural, and they know the Bible as well as you do. And what they're doing is they're reading it a different way. And what they're seeing is this policy of God's, if you will, that once you have established the connection with him, which they say is salvation, and I agree with that, by the way, then at that point, God comes alongside and works with you, or deals with you, depending on your perspective. But it's his policy, if you will, that once that connection's made, he doesn't let it be broken. And one of the things that you'll often hear is, it's not the sheep's job to keep the sheep, it's the shepherd's job to keep the sheep. And there's truth to that, but you need to have it in perspective. You need to have balance, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
They don't have the knowledge of Torah and Tanakh.
The question was, is it not the case that Calvinists or people who believe that don't have a knowledge of the Tanakh? No, they see it differently. And one of the places they see it differently is right here in this chapter of Hebrews, because we're going to go on, and they're going to see in here that the Tanakh or the Torah is no longer binding. Okay, and I'll show you where they get that in just a minute. And again, I'm not a Calvinist, and I'm not Arminian. I'm sort of in between, which is typically where the Torah is. You know, you can, Paul himself says, when you finally meet God, your works are going to be tested. And a whole bunch of them are just going to be burned right off. And you're going to be standing there with your whole pile of ashes and your one little piece of gold, maybe. There's fearsome judgment. I am not one who counsels living in terror of making a misstep for fear that you're going to plummet into hell. I don't think that's sound either. But I'm also not one who believes that just go off and do anything you want. It doesn't matter. It's all covered by the blood of Jesus. I don't believe that either. There's a balance there, just like with everything else in Torah. You're beetling your brow over there, Ray. Do you have something that you wanted to say?
I'm just trying to kind of weigh this out in my head.
Yeah.
I know that David was terribly concerned. And in fact, in the Psalm that you cited, 51, he is above all else worried that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken from him. And in essence, that flies in the face of the argument, well, once you've got that, David was terrified that connection was going to be broken.
I agree.
Now, I don't know if he was just a fraidy cat or not, but...
What I will suggest, the comment was, David in Psalm 51 was terrified. And, you know, one of the things he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Yeah.
Okay? But the thing that you need to understand in all that is David never lost the connection. And that wasn't entirely up to David.
I guess that's what I'm trying to sort out.
Yeah. In other words, you get help there. And in fact, David never did lose the connection. Even though he was a murderer, he was an adulterer, he flat flew in the face of God by numbering he messed up big time.
Stuff,
yeah. And he did willful stuff. And yet he always came back to God. He always had a soft heart toward God. And so the question you have to ask yourself is that entirely David's doing? And what I'll suggest to you is David had a lot of help. He had a God that loves him, that dealt with him and chastened him and, you know, shooed the sheep back into the pen, if you will. The sheep has got to do the running when the sheepdog nips at its heels. But there is a sheepdog out there that will nip at your heels when you get too far out of the pen. But the other part of that is you can ignore the sheepdog. And then I think that's where Calvinism breaks down, because I think that Calvinism would say you can't ignore the sheepdog. I think you could.
I personally believe I've seen people that have.
Yeah, I do too.
I've seen people that have been going down a path for better or for worse, but going down the path and have said, that's it. I don't believe this no more.
Right.
And off they go.
Right.
And after a certain point, Yeshua tells the disciples, go into town and preach the word. And you know what? If it doesn't come back to you and you're not met with a good report coming back to you, shake the dust off your heels and move someplace else because you're wasting your time.
Right.
And I see a pattern there as well. And I'm just thinking through.
It is not a simple subject. Mm-hmm. And Calvinists, as I say, are not stupid people. They're very bright people who care a great deal about the scriptures and know them very well. And they've come to a different conclusion. I think my conclusion is right, otherwise I wouldn't have it. It's pretty simple. If I thought they were right, I'd be one of them. And the thing that I see in Torah is not this bang, bang control, you know, you're either in that ditch or that ditch, and you go through life slamming back and forth between one ditch and the other. What I see in Torah is balance and nuance that keeps you more toward the center of the road. And that's what I see as being missing from either Calvinism or, you know, the free grace folks, either one.
And the Psalm 139 mm-hmm. is the psalm that speaks a lot to this.
The Runaway Bunny Psalm?
The Runaway Bunny Psalm.
Yeah.
Starting in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me, and so on. Yeah. So that speaks to this, that you can try and run away, but he's...
Yeah, in other words, once you've made the connection, the Holy Spirit will try and keep you in the sheepfold. And so you'll have help, if you will, walking the path. But it's also possible, I believe, for you to say to the Holy Spirit, I ain't playing anymore. And, you know, go off and be wolf chow. Anyway, that was sort of a long time. Anybody have any questions before we move on?